Hi there, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, guests, information to help you lead a more positively minded life. Hey, a little news. A little sad news. You know, the legacy of the storm. New York Times reported yesterday the legacy of the storm, depression and suicide. In New Orleans, the commander of the police department's mobile crisis unit there spends much of each workday trying to persuade people not to kill themselves. Most people, a lot of people, have had the highest amount of, like, an epidemic of depression and post-traumatic stress that it has never been seen before. Never been seen at this level. Most people are saying, I just have lost everything. I don't want to live anymore. And the highest rate of suicide is among the people who have had very little to start with by New York standards. You may have had a dog. You may have had a chair in front of your house. You may have had your shack, but you said, it's mine. It's my home. Taken away from many people who just subsist, that's everything. Now there's nothing to live for. So suicide, mental health workers, wherever you are, get down there, help out. Social workers, psychologists, I'm pleading with you, if you ever wanted to make some kind of a difference in the middle of a crisis, this seems to be calling for one. The symptoms of depression there, specifically, have doubled since Katrina. They're classic post-traumatic stress symptoms. People can't sleep. They're irritable. They feel everything is an effort and sad. And when you can't get hold of people you used to know, you know, the people down that used to reach out to their friends, but you can't reach to them anymore because they're not there. So it leads people to live solely because there's nobody else to live with. So St. New Orleans, my friends, it's a place to make a difference. Not so much the food and the shelter, but the kind of help of people who are willing to go down there and help out and be present for other people, because it's only the police and the National Guard. You know, what do they know about mental health? They might not even be in the profession if they did. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI. Among the things that lead people to feel miserable in their lives that we would like to do away with, one of the things that have come to my attention recently have been the whole concept of secrecy. I want to talk about secrecy today. Secrets. Everyone's got them, from surprise party plans to love affairs. At some point, you're keeping a secret. Whether it's an embarrassing memory, a shameful fact about a friend, or that simple scheme to mark somebody's birthday with something that, you know, if you think about it, every time you buy somebody a present, it's a secret. If you live with them, right? Every time you're with them, it's like, I'm not going to tell you what I got you until your birthday comes. It's a secret. You have a secret. Secrets are not all bad. There are many kinds of secrets. Many secrets are harmless, like the surprise party plot. Others, according to Daniel Wagner, a Harvard psychology professor, he says they're immoral because you're keeping from someone something that they are entitled to know by some kind of an agreement, by a tacit agreement of some kind of honesty between friends, between couples, between families. Family therapist Evan Imberblack, hyphenated, PhD, professor of psychiatry at Albert Einstein College of Medicine, wrote a book called The Secret Life of Families. He said there are two kinds of secrets. Essential secrets promote natural growth and development. And he says a normal secret would be a young woman's crush on her professor. Well, he's a professor up at Albert Einstein, so I don't know. But a normal thing would be the different romantic things that young women and young men go through. And those they don't want to tell anybody about, and it's kind of maturational that they figure it out for themselves. Especially when you live with parents who want to know everything. There are parents who just won't let you off the hook. I have a young man I treated. He used to come to me. He said, my parents are hovering. Hovering as what helicopters do, you know, when they hover over you. He always feels his parents are hovering for information. Another young man I used to see, his parents were therapists. No, oh boy, those are real tough ones. Psychotherapist parents. Well, actually, the children of psychotherapists have some of the highest rate of suicide of all people. Why? Because you can't escape. You can't have a secret. It seems like secrets, privacy seems to be important in maturational development. A young man's got to know that he could think things and not have them figured out. When you have a parent who's a really sharp therapist, oh my gosh, every time you wince, what's wrong? What's happening? It sounds like you're angry at me. What, just because you threw the book on the floor and you forgot to come to dinner and you spit when you talk at me, it means you must be angry at me, so you kind of invade them. They don't want to tell you these things. They have secrets. They don't want to say they're angry. So there are certain things that people need to be able to keep to themselves as a way of growing up, it seems. Other secrets can cause psychological damage, or allow decisions to be based on missing information. I knew a woman who was having an affair when her husband went out and bought a new house for them. She was really in love with this other person. He bought this house and he was really in hock. Then she finally said, well, I'm in love with somebody else. I want to move out. You know, he had given up an awful lot. That's kind of unfair. Secrets that are based on missing information that is essential. Most likely your secrets about yourself or someone else, are those you or others find embarrassing, shameful, disgusting, or traumatic. Think about your secrets, the things you don't tell anybody about. You know the kind of secrets you have? I have most people who come in to see me know I have X-ray vision eyes. You know, they have the suspicion that I see through things. I don't really have X-ray vision eyes. But they have secrets, and they're just waiting for me to get it. You know, and I knew you'd find out. I knew you'd tell me right away. I knew you'd know that. And they're relieved. Because there's something about not having a secret anymore that makes such a difference. I think that's the thing about a confessional, you know, in a church. Having a confessional where you go in, you kneel before the priest, and you say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, my last confession was, and then you lie about it. And then you say, one of my secrets is I lie. And then you get some kind of absolution. You kind of walk out feeling better. There's something about the confessional that was a secret. And then we learned there are people who need to tell this thing they've been carrying around all their lives. In a recent book appeared called Post Secrets. And Post Secrets was about secrets that people wrote on a postcard and sent to this organization that was posting secrets. And many people sent these in, and around Father's Day, they sent in a whole bunch that they just wrote on a small postcard and they sent in. And I wanted to show you some of those. Here's some of the ones that they did. My dad sold my car for drug money. A secret. Dear dad, your time came too late. Meaning you had died, but I wish you had died earlier. These are all about Father's Day. I save all of my dad's sketches because someday he won't be around to see them. I'm scared to death that my father will die before he gets to walk me down the aisle. It's a secret that a woman held. And many, many more. I mean, you could see them under postsecrets.com. There's things that you would imagine are not really important, but they're all important. In fact, I'm bet you're sitting with secrets that you've been sitting with your whole life. There are many kinds of secrets. There are secrets about the past. What took place in the past that you can never talk about, like a past job you had or a past sexual experience you had. Or even worse than that, the most difficult ones are this traumatic sexual experience with an older person when you were young. The thing that took place that you were told never to tell anyone. Sometimes it's with a parent or it could be with a relative of some sort. And you're just told, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody. Or you'll destroy them if you tell them. Don't tell your mother if she finds out. She'll die. It could be secrets that you and your parent of the opposite sex, or you of the parent of the same sex, actually took up as you set up a wall against your other parent. So a mom may say to her daughter, don't tell your father that I have money saved in the bank. But I'm planning to get out of here, but don't tell dad. Now, things like that, when you do that with the brain of a six-year-old child, that poor child is really starting to split off. It's hard to handle. Secrets that you have, many people, you could tell by the secrets they had in childhood, what kind of childhoods they had. For example, many women will keep a secret that they got their period. Now, why is that a secret? Why won't daddy know about it? Don't tell dad. Why can't dad? Why is a woman embarrassed for her father to find out that menses occurred? Why? Why do you think? Oh, it's embarrassing. No, not good enough. I don't want dad to know. Number one, I'd become a woman. I want daddy to see me as a child forever. But mom will help along with that. Okay, I won't tell your father. And then mom will also help by saying, well, I'll keep your secret, but they tell dad anyway. You know, your daughter. Secrets. Getting your period. Wetting your bed. Boy, that's a humiliating one. A lot of children wet their beds when they're little, and it's one of the most humiliating things you can imagine because they're afraid somebody's going to find out. They're afraid. It's such a bad thing. Touching yourself. When you're laying in bed by yourself, you discover your own sexuality in one kind of sense, and all forms of masturbation become a secret. You don't go around telling mom, you know, hey, mom, I played with myself yesterday, and I had a really good time. And mom doesn't say, oh, that's really nice. Would you like some breakfast? You know, it doesn't happen because shame gets built into the family system. I don't know if it shouldn't be that way. But secrets, you know, being don't tell daddy, don't tell mommy, don't tell your other sisters, don't tell your grandmother. I have one over here where I work. Where I used to work when I worked for corporations and industry, there were always secrets. Don't tell the boss that I came in late. You know, don't tell the co-worker about this, but here's what I heard about them. Gossip is secrets. So if you're at a work environment, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that's built into secrecy. For example, I worked in the stock market when I was a kid. I worked down there from the age of 20 to 30 years old. I was working down there doing some kind of silly thing. But part of the way of making money is based on secrets. I have information that you don't have. Now, either you could have what's called insider information, which used to be the standard. That was the way everybody functioned. Now it sounds like some horror that finally emerged. But turns out that everybody knows something. You know, let's say you're a company and you know you're selling out your company to another company. You may tell your mother-in-law, listen, go buy a few shares for yourself. That's called inside information. Insider trading. Not allowed. It's now forbidden. Okay, now it's forbidden. But back then, I remember, it was the only way that things took place. So let's say you figure something out. Let's say you're a stock analyst, and you figure out, hey, this company cannot continue paying their dividend for four consecutive quarters. I believe they're going to cut their dividend based on my evaluation, which is based on just my thinking it through, but I thought it through this way before anybody else did. So now you have a secret. Now you become a better representative by sharing this secret with a select number of clients so that your clients make more money than the other clients do, based on secrets or based on secret information. I mean, everything is secret. We have a secret service. You know what I mean? It's the secret service. Why is it called the secret service? You have a PIN number. What's your PIN number? Keep it. It's a secret. Don't tell anybody your PIN number. No matter what you do, don't give away your PIN number. Meanwhile, your PIN number is probably published everywhere on the Internet nowadays. People are concerned about privacy on the Internet, aren't they? How much information is going to be found out? Identity theft. Don't give away your Social Security number. Don't give certain things away because they could steal your identity and they'll know all your secrets. Secrets. Secrets could be about the past. Secrets could be about the present. How old are you? I'm 29. Well, I'm 39. I'm 49. You don't give away your true age. What do you weigh? You know, a lot of people will not tell you the truth about what they weigh. I've even found men in their adult lives lying about their height. They don't tell the truth. They tell height they once were. But since then, when you get to be after 50, you start shrinking a little because your bones compress. But you keep reporting your height is what it used to be. Secrets about the present, what you're doing with your life, how much you truly earn. The way you look, the way when you become image conscious, the way you look to your neighbors, the way you present yourself. Hey, how's it going? Fine. I go to a place where I see people who I don't see except in the summer. Right? These are people who hang around the same beach that I hang around. And they always say, how's your winter? Right? That's how broad it is. It's like this broad stroke. You're supposed to give them up 6 months, and you're supposed to answer it, and you say, great, because that's all they want to hear. They don't want to hear detail about how's your winter. How's your winter? And keep it a secret. Don't tell us. If it's too good, I don't want to hear it, and if it's bad, I certainly don't want to hear it. Secrets about the future are very often. What if you have plans? What if you have a secret? What if you're planning to get out of a relationship? What if you're planning to leave town? What if you're planning to buy something? What if you find out you're sick and you have some fatal thing? Secrets about the future. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about secrets, and believe it or not, I'm going to ask you, how would you like to get rid of a secret? How would you like to undo a secret? And the way you're going to undo a secret is to call into our program and tell us a truth about yourself or about something you've gone through that you feel like you've been dying to tell your whole life. What about that? What do you think of that? What do you think of the idea of getting this one off your mind? Getting it off, saying it, I won't even ask you your name. So you can call us in at 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900, and tell us a secret about you if you think revealing that secret will free you in some way. And I can tell you, if you've been carrying it a long time, sometimes publicizing it makes a difference. It really does make a difference. From what we could see from this website, it made a tremendous difference to people to be able to say what they secretly feel. One of the things that you're taught when you're early in life is that your emotions are very inconvenient to the people who are in charge. It's very inconvenient to have a lot of anger. Let's say you're somebody who's got a younger sister, and your younger sister gets all the goodies and you get nothing except blamed for what your sister did when she didn't do right. Let's say that happens. Well, you're taught not to complain about her. You are taught to hold that inside you. You're told to take these feelings of anger and resentment and bury them. Keep them secret. There are things you see about your mother and father. You keep it a secret. There are secrets that have burdened people to such a point that they can't progress with their life. There's another website I want you to know about. It's www.hopeline.com. Hopeline is a place where it's for people who are considering suicide. I'd like to get that a little more publicized, especially down in New Orleans. 212-209-2900. The most common secrets are, number one, something related to your sexuality, And number two, the second most common secret, are secrets that make you look like a failure. Well, that's an important thing. Think about your past. I met a man the other day. He said to me, my biggest, or a big secret about me, is that I felt like I've disappointed my family. Because I wound up, I promised, I got married, I have children. I promised to make it good, and I couldn't. My secret is how disappointed I feel in myself. How I've disappointed them. Sometimes people make big mistakes. Sometimes you steal something in a store, and you take it, and it could affect you for the rest of your life. Sometimes you cheat somebody out of something. You know, every now and then an opportunity comes along for you to exploit a special relationship so you could get something that you're not normally entitled to. For example, you see, you go to a friend's place of work and the friend has some money sitting out there, and maybe you'll pick up something off the floor or something like that, and you just won't tell your friend. One little incident like that. Or better yet, you flirt with your friend's boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, not better yet, but one of those things where you keep this little secret to yourself. I knew a man who had a son-in-law, a potential son-in-law, and he and the potential son-in-law used to like to play games together. They played poker together. So they both liked poker, so they got together and they played poker a lot. Before I go any further, all card games are games of secret. You see, poker is a game of secrets. Am I bluffing? Am I not bluffing? How many cards do you want? What do you see in my face? I can keep a secret. You're a liar. No. Are you a liar? Are you not a liar? We have TV shows. Some of the most popular television shows in the world are based on who is a better liar in poker. Hey, Daniel Negreanu. He lies better than everybody else. You know, or whoever it is who's the poker star. The one who is the champ of the World Poker Tour has lied better. And so we want to present this million-dollar award and this belt, or whatever they give them, this ring, this bracelet, to the number one liar. Right? That doesn't make you bad. I'm not saying that lying is bad, but the guy who has kept the best secrets when playing poker, Rummy is all about poker. Right? Gin Rummy is all about secrets. I mean, it's all about secrets. All card games are about secrets because you're holding cards in your hands. All games, dominoes, is about secrets. It's about secrets. It's not like a simple thing. It's about secrets. And people love it. And the whole idea of poker and poker being so popular is I can keep secrets better than you can keep them, and I can stop you from even seeing my secrets. You have a tell, they call it. So going back to this man who used to play poker with his possible future son-in-law, and he and this man were playing cards, and they were talking about things, and they got to massages. And the dad said, you know, I really like massages. I love a good massage. And the young man, trying to become close to his potential father-in-law, said, yeah, I really like massages too. And then he said, especially with happy endings. Now, especially with happy endings, for those of you not familiar with it, mean that you get a massage with someone who is going to also bring you to orgasm for an additional fee. That's the way it works. It's mostly women masseuses, if that's politically correct, or is everybody masseuse? Is that correct, masseuse? And with a male client, but it could be a man with a man, or it could be a man with a woman, because they also have that too. Trainers very often will become sexual partners for women who hire trainers, as we've learned about, you know, a lot of people who are very successful, and the wives have these trainers that they hire, but mainly they hire the trainer for sexual favors. And their husbands pay for it, and it's their way of getting even with their husbands, but it becomes a secret. So this man tells his potential father-in-law that he likes to get played with or touched or brought to orgasm by people at massage parlors. Now, here's this man's quandary. It's his daughter that this man is going to marry. What does he do? Does he tell the man, please don't tell me things like that because, you know, I'm not going to betray my daughter. I'm going to tell my daughter. Or if you tell me things like that, I must tell my wife or my daughter about it. What's the right thing to do? What is the right thing for him to do, do you think? You know, what's your opinion about that? I mean, the father said, well, I've got a relationship with him, and therefore it's okay. He could, you know, just tell me what he wanted to tell me. But it was a real conundrum, a real quandary, a real situation that you're stuck in. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. After the break, which will be in 5 minutes, I will be taking your calls. I want to remind you that there are four kinds, the embarrassing, the shameful, the disgusting, and the traumatic. The traumatic secrets have to do with stuff that happened to you in childhood. Another form of secret is secret about war. There are soldiers who have secrets that are so unmentionable. Things that you did when you were wearing that uniform were shameful. Shameful. When you were in that point of power and you were with other people who were in that point of power, you did things to people. You did things for yourself. You secreted things away. You saved money. You sent things home. You bought things for yourself. You exploited people. You did things with that uniform on that you're very ashamed of. You killed. You hurt. Well, even if it was in the line of duty, there's something about it that kills you. But, you know, in the military, you're not allowed to say it. You're just not allowed to say that it bothers you because that's a form of betrayal, because that's a form of it's actually treason to say, oh, my God, did we all do disgusting things? You can't turn it in. The only time you turn it in is after it gets exposed, you know, by some video about a prison. But meanwhile, you know, there are a lot of people who went to Abu Ghraib who saw what was going on long before it was announced, and they just let it pass by. Thousands and thousands of people had that secret. One of the shocking things about the end of World War II is when the concentration camps were exposed, the people who lived in villages nearby said, I didn't know anything about it. The Germans who lived in the towns right near the concentration camps, who might have seen the smokestacks going up, they said, oh, no, I didn't know anything about it. Part of what the Americans did when they marched in, just as cruel, I'm sure, they took those people and they forced those very people in the towns to dig the graves in the concentration camps. I guess what was the idea? We're going to punish you for standing by while you were watching all of this? But during that time, did they have the secrets? Did the Germans who knew what was going on have the secrets? So all of this throughout history has been something that has cost people tremendously. So I say to you, are you carrying something in your heart? Would you like to think about saying something or telling something that I will handle delicately? And just saying it on air and say, you know, I'd like to tell this about this thing that happened to me and say it right here on WBAI, and it will go off into the ethers wherever it has the potential most healing. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. It is just about 1:29. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I've got some very interesting music for you. Following that, we're going to talk about, we're going to take your calls.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're tuned in to WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
Thank you. My God is great. And I wish to be free, like the birds in the tree. Get up. Rise up and shine.
Isn't that cute? Oof. Zuko 103 is what it's called. It's by Lee Scratch Perry. His nickname is Scratch. Love is Queen. Zuko 103. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Just bringing you some new and interesting music. That's from Stephanie Costas. Stephanie Pompadou's Pompagnac's Hotel Costas. C-O-S-T-E-S, Volume 8. Going to bring you more music from that. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, in case you just tuned in down at WBAI. We play music here. That's a wonderful thing. But we also try to bring you things to help you a little bit. Normally, we're talking about secrets, and the reason we keep secrets is to save yourself or other people embarrassment, shame, or emotional pain. Sometimes you're afraid that you or others will be shunned or abandoned. Then again, you may agree to secrecy out of a kindness, you know, or foster a bond with someone, vowing not to tell a soul about your friend's facelift, for example. You know, don't tell anybody I had a facelift. While a secret can unite people, it can also divide them. The feelings of guilt can keep you so distanced. A Dr. Wegener, W-E-G-N-E-R, who was writing about secrets, says keeping secrets can make you sick. When you have a secret, you try not to think about it or feel the emotions connected with it, but by attempting to suppress your thoughts and emotions, you end up being obsessed by them instead. This produces stress, which can lead to, frequently, long-term health problems. So if you're not bound by a vow of confidence, and I don't mean a vow of confidence you made to some your Uncle Louis, you know, when you were 5 years old, but I mean a true vow of confidence, unburdening yourself in the secret, Kevin McKillop, PhD, Associate Professor of Psychology at Washington College in Chesterton, suggests that you write it in a journal or talk to a trusted friend or just write it or send it or tell somebody. See a therapist. Tell them what happened. Tell them about your secret. 212-209-2900. We are going to take your calls. Let's see what you feel like sharing with us. This is Armand DeMille. I do want to say that if you tell us about your secrets, keep in mind that there are certain decency rules that we have to follow here on WBAI, which means your language should not be too graphic because the government has put down new laws about what's allowed and what's not allowed. And that's all. That's all. And speak truthfully. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
I'm on. Armand?
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Who is this?
My
you don't have to
Kevin.
Tell me who this is. That's an automatic. If you're going to talk about your secrets, we're going to leave out the identities.
Well, I use the secret name.
Okay, that's good.
All right. I enjoy your show. I just like you to know, and I got a lot of love for you.
Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I have a lot of love for you, too, because there's a feeling that I get with this audience, with the people who listen to WBAI, that's as strong as a feeling could be for anybody who's as distant as we are, you know?
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so tell me about you.
Well, I was raped as a boy by a loved one. They didn't really know what they was doing. And it confused my sexuality. And for a long time, I had to wrestle with going back and forth, you know. And I kept it secret because I'm kind of a rugged guy. And, you know, to let that thing out, you know, it would cause so much trouble, you know. And it's burdened me, and it has affected my life.
Have you ever talked to the person who did it?
Was this I have.
Was it a man or a woman?
I forgive them, too.
Was it a man or a woman?
A man.
A man. So somebody, when you were a kid, some man sexually toyed with you or raped you. And you feel the impact of that, and there's a secret there. Now, you've talked to him about this, right?
Yeah.
And what did he say?
He apologized to me, you know, and he went into depth about it. He was not a full adult himself. He was about 8 or 9 years older than me.
Mm-hmm. How old were you at the time?
I was, I can't even hardly remember. I must have been maybe 4 years old.
Wow.
Just before kindergarten.
So you're 4 years old and he's 12 years old. And at age 12, he gets so carried away with himself, he does something with a four-year-old. And he almost doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. And
I believe that he just was discovering his sexuality. And I don't know, maybe somebody touched him. I don't know. You know, I have no idea why he would explore such a thing. But I remember the day vividly. And it has really, like, haunted me for a long time. And I truly do forgive this person. And but the effects of what happened to me linger on. And, you know, I'm just putting it out there because it's a secret.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in.
Have a blessed day, sir.
Thank you. I remember the movie Deliverance. In the movie Deliverance, one of the people in the movie gets raped over and over again, repeatedly. A man. And so after a while, they get away from their captors. But the thing becomes keeping the secret that he was raped because he was so shamed by it. You see? And so now it was about keeping the secret. That became more important than even getting proper justice. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question about secrecy with respect to narcissism.
Sure.
How is intimacy possible in a world of secrecy such as we experience today in this society?
Could you be a little more specific?
The government
you mean
keeps a lot...
Everybody's putting up a front and everybody's trying to look good? How is intimacy possible when...
Yeah, well, people wear masks, like Dr. Lang used to say. People wear these, you know, have these facades.
Sure.
And, whether it's in a workplace or...
So you're saying what your observations are. It's very difficult to let somebody get to know you because it's almost automatic in this narcissistic society to present an image of yourself. Here's an interesting concept. The word intimacy, you know, as someone I know once said, it's into me see. That intimacy is letting somebody see you. Into me see.
Yeah.
You know, do you let anybody in to see you?
Well, I think that quite often when you do show certain feelings, like, say, in a workplace, it could be dangerous if you show anger. As I think I've heard you say, if you show anger...
What about love in your relationship? Let's go with your relationship since I got you on the phone.
Right.
How about you? Do you have a hard time? I mean, sounds like you have a hard time showing your true self to
people you want
to get close to. And I could understand it.
Yeah, well, in loving relationships with in terms of marriage, you know, I'm married.
Uh-huh.
I think that married couples keep secrets from each other.
So what secret do you keep from your wife?
Well, I think one secret is that I have a feeling she's not being faithful to me, but you sort of keep that to yourself and you pretend it's not happening.
Well, wait, let's just, if we could,
right.
I really appreciate it. One of the secrets that you keep from your wife is how suspicious you are about her fidelity.
Yes.
But she knows you're suspicious of her. You're that kind. I mean, you must have blurted that one out a few times.
That's true.
So she has the idea. So that's not really much of a secret. One of the secrets that you have is how much you worry about it, how concerned you are, how that throughout your life you've been unable to trust people and especially trust someone who is very close to you. And this is kind of what you're saying about the society. You're a guy who's like amazing that you let someone this close. But you rummage in your mind, you know, you sit there and you think about things and you observe things because you have this private place in your mind where you're always afraid somebody's going to hurt you.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Let me back
so
up.
So you have a very secret mind. You have a mind that worries more than most people, and you're kind of stuck with it because you hate the fact that you're so worried so often. And that's part of your secret. Part of your secret is your private mind, which
yeah.
many people have. It's torment, you know?
Well, you think that's a bad thing then?
No, no, no. It's a thing. It's not a bad thing. Do I wish that you could sit with some other human and tell them about all your worries? If you could sit in a group of men who sat around and just compared how worried they got compared to the next guy, and they finally opened up. Can you imagine in a war scene, can you imagine if we had a foxhole full of people who told the truth about how scared they were? My gosh almighty, the thing would become so human.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But what you have is you have the all of these fears that you have nobody to share with because you're ashamed of them. You see? So is it a bad thing? No, but boy, wouldn't it be great if you could relieve it, if you could tell somebody about it, if you could explore it with someone. Because I'm sure your wife doesn't want to hear it.
Right.
You know? So that's where a group setting of some kind, a therapy setting, some kind like that is really beneficial, especially a group where you could kind of explore it a little bit and get it off your chest.
I am a veteran, by the way, so you hit a lot of nails right on the head.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Bye.
You. What an honor. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're talking about secrets that you have in private places. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
I turned down your radio all the way. I think you just did.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, hi, Armin.
Yes.
Oh, good. Armin, I've been married for over 50 years, and within our marriage, which has lasted this long, my husband revealed that he was unfaithful to me. And when he did that, it was very painful, and we got over that. Well, we didn't get over it, but we managed to get through it. And then we went into another phase, and that he was into pornography, and that came out. And once again, this was a very hurtful experience that I shared with some of my family, and it was terrible, but we got through that. And now he's a controlled alcoholic, and for some reason, we're getting through that, too. So although he relieved himself of his secrets, those secrets are with me somewhat, but it hasn't overcome me. So what I'm trying to say is here were three pretty painful experiences that we managed to get through.
Well, you bring up a lot of things. Number one, did he go to Alcoholics Anonymous?
No, he didn't go. I went to Al-Anon for a while, but I found it okay, but a little bit too religious for me.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. That's the part that I find the least in Al-Anon is the religious part of it. I know a lot of people have that as a criticism, but it's one of the blessings. You know, one of the great things about Al-Anon and Alcoholics Anonymous is the fact that the secret could be open, especially about being a drinker, because there's almost no greater secret than when a person's an alcoholic. They're keeping it secret all the time. It's a great secret. But now I'm going to ask you one other question, all right? In this, with your husband revealing his extramarital affair, then the work with pornography that he did, right? And he was telling you about that. How did this strengthen your relationship? How did it make your relationship better than it was before? In other words, how did his affair benefit you?
Well, it's very interesting. First of all, I needed to know what was going on. And I turned to my profession for the strength that I needed to get through this. I turned to my family. I turned to my work to get through it.
What's your work?
I'm a college professor.
Okay, so you turned to your profession.
Yes.
School, right?
The thing is, the marriage kept together because he has some very fine traits. He's a very helpful person. He's a sensitive person. So I took all those good traits, and those are the traits I held on to. And I don't know the extent of the extramarital affair. I don't know where it was. He never really quite revealed the whole thing to me, just a piece of it. The pornography, I even went to the place where he went and saw this was really a rock-bottom situation. And the drinking is a controlled drinking. He will not go to Alcoholics Anonymous. He says it's controlled. He has it under control. But I see that this is it's wearing him down. But I can't go anyplace with it. So I'm accepting all three things and manage to keep a family together, a marriage together, even though I think those are three hard things. I took the best that he had to offer as a person, and held on to that.
I thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you could tell us that. Thank you.
Thank you, Armin.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. The website is thepositivemind.com, thepositivemind.com. It's one word. And you can go through that website and you can hear a lot of the programs streamed. What does that mean? That means that they, through WBAI or other sources, we can get the program up there. We have a better streaming record than anybody at the station because we have it going up in a few different ways. So if you miss a program, you could go listen to one. And if you don't listen to one, if you miss it and you don't hear one, or if you do hear one and you like it, you could send it to a friend. Like you may have somebody you know who's living with a secret, a terrible secret right now. And you may say, you know, you should hear that program. And so what you could do is by going to the website, you can get this program and it tells you how to email it. You can actually send it to somebody anywhere in the world. And that's what folks do. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, Armand. How you doing?
Good. Shut your windows.
Yeah, everything's shut. I just want to say real quick, my first caller really struck a chord with me because pretty much the same thing happened to me when I was a kid. It was a brother of mine, an older brother, who was like around 9 or 10 years older than me. He put his penis in my mouth. And I don't know, I've forgiven him since then, and I don't know how it really affected me, you know. But I can tell, like, sometimes I'm kind of like, in some situations, I feel weird, you know.
And weird in what kind of way? Do you feel homophobic? Do you feel... What do you
feel? No, not homophobic. Sometimes I feel like, if I act too feminine, I catch myself.
Because you're afraid somebody's going to identify you and say,
yeah.
Oh, he's a guy who's got homosexual leanings.
Yeah, or, like, if I'm around children, I'm afraid, like, oh, no, you know, I can't be in a situation kind of because, you know, I'm afraid that it might, you know, materialize somehow. I don't know, but...
Well, that's really interesting. It's something that's very familiar to me. People who are afraid that they may be perceived as less manly than they really are because of possibly originating in an early childhood trauma. So it sounds like there's a piece of work here that you could do with this. And many people can, because there are ways of going back. There are a number of ways. There's some ways that are called intense feeling work, where you go back and you go through the experience as a kid. Others called EMDR and NLP, which are ways of revisiting the past and removing the pain from it by doing something with it, by, you know, moving it in your own mind, by addressing with it, by dealing with it, you know. So it may be, since this affects you in such a profound way, it may be time for you to find some kind of counseling with that.
Okay.
You know, well, and I think it would help you out tremendously.
Well, the thing is that I really don't think about it that often. It's like I just remember it right now because of the show.
But you
and,
know,
the
things we don't think about.
Uh-huh.
That are sitting in the background are some of the things that affect us the most. So if you get by without even dealing with it, fine. But from what it says to me, even if you're around children, you can't be yourself. So I would say I wouldn't even give up that part of myself. What for a small amount of time spent correcting it, you could correct it.
I think that's the part that bothers me the worst is when I'm around kids, you know. Like,
I hear,
Yeah.
Well, I wish you would take advantage of it. Again, go to my website, take a look. If there's any way we can be of help to you, we will. I think it's something that you can get over. It is very clear. In a funny way, it is a form of homophobia. It's afraid you're going to be perceived as that, you know? And, of course, the damage is there and can be fixed. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Thank you so much for calling in. We're just about out of town, my friends. Just about out of town. What a nice idea. Hey, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. with more exciting programming. Again, to hear this program again, you go to thepositivemind.com.